broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. We're here each and every night, Monday through Friday, until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're going to have Herb Sewell jump in just a moment, and we're going to talk about something very serious and potentially, I don't know what to call this. We're going to talk with Herb about an experience that he had today. And I have to question his actions. I also have to question the actions, I would guess, of the police. So there's quite a few people and entities and individuals involved that need to be questioned. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And by the way, in the news hour, news and information hour, we're going to have a very interesting discussion I was having with Rance and with Robert and with Bud, although most of the really interesting part was with Rance.
I made some good points.
No, you didn't. And anyway...
shut up, man.
Yeah, just shut up, bud. About the right of BART to shut... About the right of the authorities to shut your cell service off if there is an illegal assembly or a potential disturbance being created by or otherwise provoked by the use of cell phones. Okay? So we're going to talk about that. Our number here is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Herb Sewell's joining us on our newsmaker line here this evening, and we're going to be talking about, Herb, this was a situation today in Laguna Beach, right?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Laguna Beach is a beach city in the southern portion of Orange County on the coast. You were where?
Nets there in the downtown section of the Pacific Coast Highway, and I was finished eating lunch, and I had sat on one of the view benches there near the cove. If you're familiar with Laguna Beach, there's a cove.
There's a lot of rocks.
Yes, that is correct. And so the cove area there was where I saw a young child that was in the surf, but gone out to the surf. And
we've gone out to the what?
Out to the waves, out to the surf.
Okay. Now, I want to let people know before you go any further, you were 8 years at Atascadero for a forensic hospital in California. You were there, remanded there as a psych case, weren't you?
That is correct, yes.
And what were the crimes that that you had committed?
I had was remanded there by the municipal court and state court because of a... child abuse, child relations with a minor, and contributing to the delinquency, which had been dropped. But there are seven charges in total, of which I was remanded for 8 years custody. Actually, the original sentence there was 15 years, but because I completed these programs, they've gone to, Atascadero, which, quite frankly, ghoulish and quite frankly medieval.
We'll get into whether they were ghoulish or medieval, but you were, what was it, electroshock?
Yes, it was electroshock, and it was also insulin shock. And but by the time that I was leaving, of course, I was in a capacity as an intern, not an intern, I should say, as an assistant, prisoner assistant, so forth. So I left, and I'm now currently a halfway house where I'm given some limited mobility. The only reason why I'm letting you know where I was today is because of the interest in what happened from the police. And I did have every right to be where I was, by the way.
No, I'm not saying that you didn't, but you're going public with where you were so that the police have said that you told the police anyway, and the news media?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Go ahead with your story.
So I was there on the view bench near the cove there on Laguna Beach, which is, as I mentioned, there a very rocky shoal area. There's also an area there where there is a small protected inlet so that the waves of the Pacific surf don't necessarily overwhelm or inundate any children or mothers or individuals that wish to swim in a shallow area.
Okay, I understand.
It was at that time that I saw this child, Derek, the boy's name, and I watched as this child was in the water and had waded past this reef area, I guess you could call a protected reef area.
Okay.
and suddenly was overwhelmed by one of the waves. It was quite choppy, and there was a large wave which created quite a bit of white water. And the child was underwater, and I sort of stood up because I didn't see a human being or a person come up for quite some time. And I saw the head of the child come up and was carried in the backwash or the resulting back tide out deeper into the water. And so understand that what I'm witnessing here is someone that seems to be in some serious distress. It's not a very large child. I would not say this child is much older than 4 or 5.
Right.
And there's no 4 or 5 year old that I would imagine can swim, even in that area.
All right. Well, if you're talking about an area there, how many yards off the shore?
Well, it wasn't more than 30 or 40 yards, but the water is very deep there because of these, as I mentioned, these rocks, and of course it's much deeper for some of that age.
All right.
I watched this, and again, I saw this child now had gone past the breakwater, and there was no. There wasn't the crashing surf that there was. So really what we're talking about is this child is down deep water. Now, I was within probably about 100 yards. I could have kicked off my shoes, and I could have raced as fast as I could and got into the water, and while I was running, alerted people. I did not.
Now, why did you not?
Because of the prohibition against me being within a certain area of children.
And now, in an emergency like that, Herb...
I understand about emergencies.
All right, but let me just ask you. There's a prohibition against you being around children because of the... your sentence, the penalty that you're serving as part of your probation and will be a lifetime thing, correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. So you can't be within a certain several feet of where kids ordinarily gather. And yet there you were at the ocean.
Now, hold on for a minute, because I was well beyond the prescribed area that I am to stay out of. Now, this is 200 feet. I was 300 feet because I knew that I was about 100 yards.
All right, you got to stay 200 feet away from children.
Any place with children, you can't possibly say to a human being, but you can't, oh, my God, there's a child, why aren't you 200 feet away? You can't be within 200 feet of school and...
All right, okay, I understand that. So now you see this kid, now the kid's in trouble. Did you see any other adult?
No, that was the whole point. There was no one. I was looking back at a gathering of adults on the sand, and there were two or three women. There were probably about three or four small children. And not a one of them had their face turned toward the ocean, and not a one of them seemed to recognize that at least one of these children was gone. I don't know if this child belonged to that group of adults, or if there was another group of adults somewhere in the area. But I did not see, and so I'm watching this child as the child is drifting. And the first thought that I had, God forgive me, was, and I say this, Phil, because I've talked to you for many years, and I've been very honest with you.
Okay.
The first thought I had was, and may God forgive me for having this thought, I hope that child drowns.
Good God.
Hold on. I hope the child drowns because then it will be driven home to these people that I could have saved him, but I was prohibited from doing such and had to sit and watch as the kid went, you know, three times the charm or something. I'm going down for the third time, something like that.
And well, I don't think the cartoons are anything to bring up.
I understand that, of course, Phil, but what I'm saying is...
So you were perfectly willing to sit there, wait a minute, and I hope the child drowns.
That was the first thought that I had, yes. The second thought that I had was, someone's got to do something, but I'm not going to do it. I could get up, I could run, I could make noise, I could scream, I could say there's a kid in the water over here, people have to get, you know, but I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to risk my neck getting beaten into a bloody pulp by some redneck who probably thought that I picked the kid up and threw him out there. And
so in other words, you while you were, maybe not hoping for the kid to drown, you were perfectly prepared.
I was perfectly prepared for the kid to drown, yes.
Perfectly prepared for the kid to drown because no way were you going to get involved.
I can't get involved because of the prohibition against me being within a certain number of yards of children.
And you're trying to tell me, and if you're right, you're right, that even in the event of a threat to life and limb, even in the event that you're the only capable person around when a child is at risk, you're not allowed to go near that kid.
I don't know. But I'm not going to. You think I'm going to take a chance? No way. As the saying goes, you know, when I was in Tascadero, I met a young man by the name of Garson Williams. He was there. He had killed, I don't know how many people, quite a few people. But he had this saying, he said, "No way, Jose. No way, Jose." That was, he used to say, "No way, Jose." And I've always been touched by that and struck by it. So I would say, am I going to take a chance to go save this child only to be beaten within an inch of my life by some large, sweating redneck on vacation from God knows where? No way, Jose, is what, you know, came into my mind. That's what they said to me. Well, did you try to help? I said, no way, Jose. And it sort of was just, I was repeating in my head, you know.
Okay, I understand. No way, Jose. So Herb Sewell is joining us, a convicted child molester, who today was in the Laguna Beach area and saw a kid that was at risk. The child, 5 years of age, had drifted out into the surf and quite possibly was going to drown. And because there is a prohibition, Herb, against you being around children, areas where children gather, and you were outside the limit of that, you did not do anything. You just sat and watched. And Herb even said that there was a point there where he almost wished the kid would drown so that people would then see how unfair it is for him to be kept from these areas. We're going to get back here with Herb Sewell. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. No, I don't believe him, okay?
That's pretty stupid.
Hold on. We'll talk to Herb in a minute here. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
He doesn't call me stupid. You can, he can't.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with me from, from his residence. We are not allowed to disclose where that is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell is a researcher for a few of the local universities. He also was remanded to psychiatric care for 8 years of a 15-year sentence for child molestation and crimes against children. And he joins us on our program. He is one of our news contributors. And we've had you on our show, Herb, because I want people to know you have you've been very articulate in your desire not to offend again.
Absolutely, Phil. There's no question that I have recognized in my life the horror of what I've done. No question about it. And
all right, so let's talk about why were you down at this at Laguna Beach today in proximity to this children's swimming area?
Laguna Beach is an area, Phil, where there are not only children, there are all kinds of adults. And the area that I was at, in the volleyball area, in the area that is a lot of weightlifters meet there, a lot of volleyball and so on and so forth, this is also a very well-known area for Sandcastle. And there was a sandcastle competition that I very much enjoy, that I've been a part of for a great many years, in Laguna Beach. And I was in the area where the competition was going to take place. It was nowhere near the children area. And I, as I've said to you, was not about to make the mistake of running afoul of the law. So the point of your question...
Well, I want to make sure that you weren't down there doing anything. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not down there doing anything. I'm not denying that there are days that, the old feelings aren't scratching at the box trying to get out. No question about that. But, however, I am one who knows very mindful of what the dangers are of that.
All right, so you're down there, and you are watching this child who is suddenly at risk. The child has gone from this picnic area on the beach, has now moved out into the sand, moved on into the surf, and this child is now caught and is drifting and looks to be in some distress?
Well, I would imagine so. All I could see was the child's head. I don't imagine that the child was going to last much longer. And I have to say, I pulled out, I had a watch, and this, if it sounds ghoulish, I don't mean it to sound ghoulish, but there really wasn't anything I could do. I had some lunch. I pulled a bag of cashews out, and I had a stopwatch. And while I was eating the cashews, and I was pouring myself some soup that I'd made, a very good soup that I made last night, and I put the stopwatch on how long the child's head stays above the surf. You have to understand it.
But, see, to me, that just sounds so ghoulish. You don't want to be ghoulish. You put a stopwatch on how long the kid's head stayed above the surf.
I can't do anything about it. You understand? I can't get up and do anything about it.
Well, why didn't you yell and point?
Then I'm going to have people saying, oh, the child molester, look at this child molester. Look at the child molester was staring at the child. And they'll save the child, and they'll come up to me and say, look at you hanging around the child molester.
Then they would say that you saved the kid's life.
No, they won't say I saved the kid's life. If I start jumping up and down, they'll think I had ulterior motives. Not at all, no, not at all.
So if you hadn't sent it, so in other words, if nobody saw this child, and now eventually the kid was retrieved from the surf, is my understanding, if no one had seen this kid, what would have happened?
You would have had one dead kid.
One dead kid.
That's right, because I can't chance it. I can't chance it. And so, as I said to you...
You were up there eating what? You were...
I had some cashews for lunch, which I had brought along with me, and some soup. And I'd already made a phone call to one of the professors that I work with, and that I had called in some of the research material that I'd gotten for him. So I was taking a break, and I was having lunch, and I looked, and I saw this kid and everything that I've described to you, and I realized that if I went down there, someone's going to arrest me. If I jump up and down and say, hey, there's a kid out there on the surf, they're going to say that I was looking at the kid because there's something wrong with me. So I decided that I would not say a thing. And if the child died, then the child died. And the only thing that I could do would be to somehow chronicle the moment. And that's what I was trying to do. I took out a stopwatch. I had a pen and pencil out, and I was juggling all this, you understand, because I'm eating, and I'm eating soup. And I was contemplating, you know, I had a Starbucks coffee, so how do I keep this warm? And
well, I want to just be clear here. There's a kid out in the surf that is going to drown, and you're eating soup and eating cashews and...
What else am I supposed to do?
Well, I don't know. It just seems all so very casual, you know.
Well, no, it was not casual. I was chronicling the moment. I had the stopwatch out. I was taking a look at the sun to see at what point, if I could chart how many yards away...
So while this kid's drowning, you're chronicling how far away he is. You got a stopwatch.
Yes.
And you're just checking out to make sure that there is, that if the cops were to ask you, you can say to them, here's what happened.
Yes, and I can say to them, and you'll notice I didn't go near him. I didn't go near the kid. I had my cell phone out, in fact. I took three or four pictures of myself sitting on the bus bench with the cashews, the stopwatch. Then I had someone take a picture of me with my back to the child. So, in other words, you could see that, yes, I was in the area. There's the child floating in the water, but I'm not doing anything about it. That way, I could show that to the police, and I could prove to them that while I was in the area, I was not attempting to make any contact with this child and was perfectly willing to allow this child to drown. And
Don't you hear what you're saying?
About what?
About I'm perfectly willing to let this child drown.
I can't run the risk. Apparently, you didn't hear what I said. I said that if I... were to say
no, I understand what you're saying, and that you might have run the risk of being arrested. If that's what the law says, then the law's got to be changed. You know?
Oh, look at you. The law's got to be changed, aren't you something? Well, Norma Ray. you know, I have to tell...
Why are you mocking me?
Why am I mocking you, Phil? The law's got to be changed. Do you understand that as a convicted sex offender, I'm not really legally allowed to be anywhere? I don't think I'm even allowed to be in my own shoes. You know, so... you're going to change the law to say what? That if I'm not legally allowed to be anywhere. However, if we happen to see a child drowning, would you please go save him? No, not me. No, I'm not going to play that switchy poo. No way.
So instead, what you did is you took pictures of yourself.
I had someone take a picture of me, and I said, "You see the kid over my shoulder?" They said, "Yeah." And I said, "Get the kid and me, And they said, well, it looks like that child is in trouble. I said, well, that's the point of the photograph. I said that I'm a convicted sex offender, and I'm not going near it. And they said, my God, why? I said, I explained to them.
Well, why didn't they do something?
Because I told them to take my, I don't understand what you mean. I told them to take my picture.
So you tell them to take your picture, and that's more important than them going down and helping this kid.
I don't know the reason why people think the way they do. I'm just saying, I told them to take my picture. So that's when I...
All right, hold on. Herb Sewell with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the day at the beach where a child was in trouble, but he didn't lift a hand to help the kid because that would have been a violation of his probation. Phil Hendry Show.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, famous Phil Hendry Show, welcome back here. On the line with me is Herb Sewell from, as I mentioned, from his residence. We're not saying where Herb is. He is a convicted sex offender. Where he lives is... where he lives is protected information. He is also restricted in his movements. And we're talking about being at Laguna Beach today, where he saw a child wading into the surf and eventually getting caught by the surf and pulled out. Eventually, this child was saved. But, Herb, you took no steps whatsoever to tell anybody. You didn't take any steps yourself for fear that as a convicted child sex offender, you might be apprehended or worse, the object of some sort of vigilante?
Yes, absolutely.
You were afraid of some kind of vigilante action?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in these situations, you read the newspaper and you hear about these self-appointed Judge Dredds. And they're all people that I suppose we mean well. But I'm not exactly, in the mood to test that. So my feeling was the following thing. I've got to document the event in which I did take pictures of the child drifting out into the surf, and I was using the video feature of my camera to record the moment when, God forbid, the child be sucked under the surf. Because I was eating cashews and drinking soup, there's the impression that some people have that I was being cavalier. I'm not being cavalier, but I'm eating lunch, and I'm certainly not going. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do I not eat lunch and sit and weep?
I'm wondering. Somebody's going to lose their life, and I know that there are prohibitions against it, prescriptions against what you can do and where you can be. But what if you yelled and you say, "Well, you didn't want to yell because then it would seem you were in the area and you shouldn't be in the area." You were well within your rights. You said you were beyond the limit of whatever this is, 200 feet.
Exactly. But I can't be sure as to the vigilante aspect of this. Some redneck came up to me, someone with an axe to grind, someone who wants to get his picture in the newspaper. These people who want to get picture in the newspaper. Someone who wanted to get his picture, want to be on this Anderson Cooper or whatever. I don't know. So I kept my counsel. I sat, I ate cashews, and I drank soup. I took photographs. I documented as well as I could the event. And,
all right, let me go to a phone call here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jeff in Temple City. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm listening to your program right now, and I'm just wanted to ask this guy a question, if I could.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. If you were had access to something where you were able, I don't know, to get a rope or get any kind of tow device over onto the kid. I was not in any position. Hold on for a minute. What I'm thinking about is the lifeguard station would have a tow device or you could tow the kid out. And the only thing you'd have then, Mr. Henry, of course, is you do have to have something that's going to be there to grab the kid because you're not sure how much you're going to tow the kid out. And if you tow the kid across the sand, then you're towing a kid up on a sidewalk,
I don't understand.
What are you talking about?
this man said he saw the kid. He's not allowed to put a touch. He's not allowed to put a hand on it, right?
No, I'm not allowed to go near children because of the term, the conditions of my probation.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying was, you could go and somehow get a tow rope attached, get in your car and tow the kid out. Now, all you need, because I did this one time, not because I'm no sex offender, not that I didn't have no sex or nothing with a kid or anything, but I mean, I did attach it to a kid that was in a surf and could get out because the kid was overweight and nobody could really help the kid because the one man that was there had a bad back. And another.
Okay, just get to the point of the story.
All right, well, we put the rope around a kid. I got in my truck and I towed the kid up. And I looked back and I towed the kid out on the PCH. The kid got towed. He got towed down the asphalt. It was running. You know,
but you towed a kid out of the water, how?
Well, because the kid was overweight and we couldn't get him out and he was wedged because of the suction of the sand. I don't know if you're familiar with how everything goes down at the beach and everything.
I'm familiar with the beach. I'm familiar with sand. What happened?
Well, this kid was really overweight and the sand will suction down if it gets wet and the kid got suctioned. So as the tide was coming in, we were worried about him, being underwater and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so I put the tow rod around. I put the tow rod around the kid, and I got into my truck, and I pulled him enough so that the suction released. But the kid, they didn't tell me how far I had to go to get the suction removed. So I dragged the kid across. It turned out, anyway, I dragged the kid across the sand, up some steps, across the sidewalk, down the asphalt, and then into, a couple of palm trees, and I kept on towing, and the kid got pretty much wedged in the tow trees. And
what do you mean tow trees?
I mean the palm trees.
And well, what happened to the kid?
Well, they had to finally use some kind of battering ram to get him out of the palm trees.
But my point, and I think Mr. Henry wants to know, you pulled this boy out of the surf, but you continued to pull him until he was out onto the...
Yeah, out on the PCH, because I didn't know, I didn't see him. I was counting on people to tell me. I had a walkie-talkie, and I gave my friend Chris, Toby Bo, a walkie-talkie and said, okay, Bo, give me a heads up, you know, when the kid's out, when he's out. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. He didn't say nothing. And why didn't your friend tell you something? Because obviously, Phil, you
pulled this kid out of the surf. You pull him across the sand, you pull him up, you say, some steps, across the sidewalk, down PCH, and then into two palm trees.
Yeah.
Well, how does that happen?
Because my friend Toby Bo didn't give...
Who's Toby Bo?
He had the walkie-talkie, right?
Yeah, he had the other walkie-talkie.
He had the other walkie-talkie. So, in other words, you weren't sure how far to pull this kid because you couldn't see him?
I was waiting for Toby Bo to tell me, or, I mean, some of the people that was there. But the point I'm making is, why didn't Mr.
My name is Sewell.
I'm sorry?
Herb Sewell, sir.
Why didn't you, attach a tow line?
Because I couldn't get down to the child to attach the tow line, because, first of all, it would be unnecessary for me to attach a tow line if I were allowed to be within 200 feet of the child. But because of the nature of my probation, And the terms of my parole, I am not allowed to be within 200 feet of a child, or 200 feet of a children's area. So I was not allowed to go down there, and I would not have needed to attach a tow line anyway. I could jump into the water and get the child.
Oh, okay. So there wasn't a suction area.
What do you mean by suction? No.
The suction...
I know what he means when someone heavy... No, the child is not overweight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I think it works pretty good, but like I said, I'm not a guy to tell me...
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm not really familiar with... I don't know what he was talking about.
I know what he was saying, basically. He was saying that, why didn't I just go down there and pull the child out of there? And I could not go down there and pull the child out of there. He's talking about putting a tow line on the child. Well, the child was not as big as this fat pig. Oh, excuse me, I shouldn't say that.
Well, that's a hell of a thing. He was talking about another kid.
Well, some of these kids... You know, that fat pig of a kid, if I can tell you this right now, I would have felt bad if that little boy had drowned today. But if some fat slob of a kid...
Why the... Boy, there's some... Do you see? There's still hostility there, Herb.
Yes, there's hostility. You're right. But I am staying as far away from trouble as I can get. You have to understand something. I was perfectly willing to see a child die today so that I wouldn't go anywhere near the child. And what I'm saying is I didn't want to see that boy die. But if it had been some fat slob of a kid suctioned to the sand, my hat's off to that young man who just called the program. I think he was above and beyond the call of duty. He had attaching a tow line to some fat slob of a kid.
What is the anger about?
I don't have any anger, Phil.
No, you do. You have anger about a fat slob of a kid. What is that?
Because, Phil, that child in the surf today was me many, many years ago. That child in the surf today was me. I was at Lake Arrowhead. I was with my parents at the time. And I was literally going to drown. I had fallen from an inner tube that some other kids had. I was paddling furiously, and I realized that my arms were growing very tired. I was very young at the time. I was only 6 years old. And there was a kid sitting on the shore. His name was Sammy. This was the boy's name. And I yelled to him. I said, "Sammy, please, Sam, please, help me." And he turned around, and he turned fully around. He was sitting in the sand, and I remember him just shifting his weight and turning at the waist.
Uh-huh.
And I remember clearly to this day, I will never forget, the chocolate that ringed his mouth, the box of Milk Duds, the staring at me as I said, "Sammy, please help me, I'm dying." And then he turned back to whatever asinine thing it was he was doing. I never did find out. I went under, Phil, and it was for the love of God that I was saved. Another swimmer came along and found me, but I was unconscious.
Oh, good God.
I was unconscious. They pulled me out of the water. They were able to revive me. But to this day, when I see some fat punk kid sitting on the sand, I think of this Sammy and the chocolate around his mouth as he's, you know, chewing on it. And I don't even talk to me about Milk Duds. If you go there with me, if you go to the Milk Dud place with me.
I understand.
Yeah.
Sammy, huh?
That was the kid's name, and I said, "Sammy, help me." And he probably thought, "Oh, it's just that freak, Herb Sewell. I'll let him die." Well, now you know how I felt. Now you know how I felt today as I watched myself struggling to survive. I literally was looking back through the years, Phil, watching a little Herb Sewell struggling to survive. And what did I do? I'll tell you what I did. I had a handful of cashews, a sip of soup. So I was going to say soap. I sip a soap of soup. So I'll forget it. I can't even talk right. I don't talk good anymore.
Did you take your medicine today?
Yes, I took my medicine.
All right. Well.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I saw myself out there in the surf, and I thought to myself, "Die, Herb. Die before all these bad things happen."
Well, that's a very sad thought, man. That's a very sad thought. I'm sorry that you had that thought. And to the extent that you were not able to help that child today, I'm sorry that that happened. And the fact that you were splashing around in Lake Arrowhead, and this kid's name was Sammy, huh?
Big fat tub of guts, Sammy. We used to call him Sammy the Gut many, many years before there was Sammy the Bull. You know, Sammy the Bull Gravano?
Yeah.
We used to call him Sammy the Gut. Because he was just a walking gut. And when he sat there in his little Hawaiian bathing suit and he turned at the waist and he looked, I'll never forget the ring of chocolate around the mouth and his fingers caked with chocolate, almost running down his hand, as he was chewing on a Milk Dud and he had three more in his hand ready to shove into his mouth. And I said, "Sammy, please, I can't swim. Get someone." And I thought I saw his shoulders quiver as if to laugh, and then he turned back.
You know, how do you know you're not making this up? How do you know you're not...
Oh, what do you mean, making it up?
How do you know you're not imagining this? This sounds like such a bizarre...
This happened to me. This fat little tub of guts sat there and was willing to watch me go down for the third time so he could finish his box of Milk Duds? You gotta be kidding me.
The child... He might not have known what was going on. Maybe he thought you were kidding. Why would you attribute to him such nefarious intention?
Because he looked it. When I look into the eyes of a fat kid, I see murder.
Boy, I think you still need help, man.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Today, I resisted helping a kid so I wouldn't go back to the joint, and you still think I need help.
When you look into the eyes of a fat kid, you see murder.
Him murdering me. Me not murdering him. Him murdering me.
All right. Herb, the best of luck to you, and...
I love it how you blow me off at the last. So, in other words, right when I'm the weirdest, that's when you end the interview. All right, fine. Goodbye.
I mean,
Yeah, you did hang up. I can see that the board is now black.
That doesn't take anything to see that. He can see that.
I can tell the guy hung up. Herb Sewell, ladies and gentlemen, a tale of woe from not only today at Laguna Beach, but years ago at Lake Arrowhead. 877-876-PHIL. Of course, we have our news and information hour coming up. I don't know whether is Ted Bell on the line.
I'm going to find out if you're going to call back.
All right, so Ted called in. We'll see if Ted Bell is on the line with us. R.C. Collins is supposed to check in as well. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Sammy, help! Sammy! Sammy!
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And you heard the number there, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. All right. Now, next hour, we may have visits from Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Some business decisions being made there. Might have a visit from R.C. Collins. We want to talk here briefly. Now, what was the other thing we were going to talk? I had one other bit of news that I wanted to get into here. But we're going to talk briefly here about that BART situation.
Yeah, that's a cell phone.
About the cell phones. You know, here's the thing. And I don't know. I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I do play one on Twitter, and so does everybody else for that matter. You know, everyone's a genius, and everyone knows what the story is when it comes to the law and the Constitution and all of these other things. Here's the thing. There are laws against illegal assembly. There are laws against illegal assembly. There are laws against speech that endangers. I shouldn't say there are laws against it, but the free speech, yeah, there are laws. Free speech has been interpreted by the Supreme Court famously as you're not allowed to say fire in a crowded theater. And as far as assembly goes, you can't threaten the peace and security of the community. Now, somebody will say, if you revoke people's ability to use a cell phone, you're not just revoking the ability of people who are going to commit a crime from using the cell phone. You're revoking everybody's ability. But the same holds true for when you're going to be in a when you're going to an assembly. See, you are revoking everybody's ability to be in that part of town. What?
Got Harvey Wireman is an attorney on a phone.
Well, I mean, am I allowed to finish up what I'm saying here?
You're going to make an ass of yourself, and that's why I called up. I'm sorry.
I'm going to make an ass of myself how?
Well, first of all, you're not a lawyer, you know.
No, I'm not a lawyer, but is it all right for me to understand the Constitution?
What did you say?
I'm not a lawyer.
You're not a lawyer, so is it all right for you to understand the Constitution? Yes, it's all right for you to understand it. But you don't know what you're talking about, because first of all, you know, you talking about the Constitution on a talk show, you should say I'm not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer, folks.
Okay. Now go ahead.
Go ahead what?
Go ahead and say it. I wanted to be here on the phone to listen to you in case you... You see, the Constitution of the United... hold on. The Constitution of the United States was formed by the people... So we would have a more perfect union. You know that. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. And when we do that, we are trying to create laws that are going to help man, not hurt him. Now, let me tell you, when you say that people have no right to gather just because it's going to affect the public safety. That's not necessarily true. We have in our country the right of assembly to redress grievance, even if it does make the authorities angry. Now, here is the history behind the Constitution, so that you and the people that listen to your program understand. I'm a lawyer. You know me as a criminal attorney, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm reading directly now from a essay that was done on the Constitution. It says here that
the Federal Convention convened. Are you reading this?
Yes, I'm reading it. Do you mind? The Federal Convention convened in Tehei, Stata.
In the state.
In the state, yeah. In the state, Haussa. Haussa. What is this that I read? Is this English?
Yes, you're reading English. Have you got your glasses?
Hold on for a minute. Candy, get Grandpa's glasses. Get Grandpa's glasses, honey. Thank you. Not the ones from Disneyland. These are too big. What are you doing? Can I...
Hold on for a minute, okay?
Oh, well, don't get all pissed off. I know about the Constitution.
I understand, Harvey, but I got to take a break. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Stata Tahuese. I don't know what that is. Is that Indian?